Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Trampled Bet podcast for Saturday, October 16th, 2021. I am your host, Andy Vaughan, and with me, as always, is Gordo.
Hello.
How you doing, G-Man?
Excellent. Excellent after an absolute 1-0 thumping of the Faroe Islands we just handed out. So feeling better.
So the patrons of the video podcast will see I'm still in a Scotland shirt. I obviously wasn't at the game. It was in the Faroes, but I was there in spirit watching it on the TV. 1-0 victory, and we're recording straight after it. So, hey, 3 points is 3 points.
Yes, we ground it out.
Take that every single time. And with us this week, our guest from last week, also guesting this week, Joey Slenzak. Hey, Joey.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
Not much. Not much. I mean, we've had some good pre-podcast chat here for this. We are warmed and ready for this. We've covered so much. So, but excited to talk about your picks from a couple of weeks ago and Andy's picks from a couple of weeks ago, who, you know, had some immense stuff going on. It's nice to not be the dead weight for a week.
I have a bad week and I'm instantly called out before it even starts. Wonderful. Well,
this is how I feel about 12 weeks a year. So it's just good to talk about Joey's picks because there's some great ones. So
let's get mine out of the way then. So these are the results from our last show, which was a fortnight ago, Saturday, October 2nd, because we don't do podcasts during the international weekends. Although maybe we should start, because that's the last two I've hit my 5-team ACCA and Gordon in the 5-team ACCA challenge.
Winning Cooper, and I've had some good baseball bets in between then. So, you know, the club football being away maybe did us quite well for a little while.
It was nice to have a break after my results, and I started with the banker in the Japanese J-League of Avispa Fukuoka against Shimizu S-Pulse, and I thought I was being extra safe here with a home winner draw, and Avispa went and lost this game 2-1. So a shock result, 2-5 banker loss, not happy.
Yeah, I mean, I compounded that banker loss with a PSG loss. For my banker, they lost 2-0 to Rennes, who will feature in my picks later on this week. They were gutless after a brilliant performance against Man City. They were, it didn't look like see if you'd switched strips for them and you told me, ah, that's PSG, like they're just running out some guys you've not seen before, and I'd be like, yeah, they've went through that other team there. Rennes look like PSG, and they've actually picked up a couple of good results. They've had some decent luck in Europe as well, and if you can keep out that front three, you're probably going to do quite well for the rest of the year. So, but yeah, my banker didn't come in there. Really, really disappointing with that. And I think PSG have burnt me a couple of times now, so avoid.
And a wee bit of salvation, courtesy of you, Joey.
Yeah, I was definitely playing it a little safer with my pick, United over 1.5. But, you know, like I like to say, go with the bread and butter. So this was actually tipped at like 1-4 when we were talking on the pod, but it actually kicked off a lot closer to 1-5. So it makes sense that it was kind of surprising that it was that high of a. Yeah. So, that 1-5 is about where I would have expected that. United opened the scoring in the 43rd minute with a beautiful strike from Anthony Martial. The Patreon viewers might be able to see this. I buzzed my hair recently. Tony Martial was giving some serious Ashley Young vibes there with the buzz cut. I was loving it. After the break, Andros Townsend equalized off the counterattack in the, I think it was the 64th minute. But I mean, that was all Decore. I mean, he was absolutely brilliant. That run was just phenomenal, and that was what I was kind of worried about with United, is they're just so easy to get caught out on a counter attack, and until they kind of shore up that midfield, it's going to kind of keep being an issue.
It's weird for United as well. Traditionally, a very strong midfield team. And United for the last few years, it's been their strike force that's been a problem for them. Just haven't been able to score as many goals. But you're right. It's really lacking in there. But a great pick, to be honest. 1-4 and first time on the podcast, nailed it. After me and Andy were fucking about in France and Japan. So good start. Yeah.
Exactly. I wanted to make sure I got that one in. If I've learned one thing listening to the show, got to get the banker.
Get your bankers in.
That's a lesson for me and Gordon for this week. Hear that, G-Man? Bankers must be in.
Working it.
On to the value picks. And again, mine was no better than the banker. Oita versus Cerezo Osaka took an away win on Osaka, and they lost 1-0 to a terrible Oita side. In a game that actually was quite close, a lot closer than I thought it would have been. This wasn't just we've grabbed a spawny goal. Oita seemed to merit their victory here. So, just a weird week in Japan all round. So a value loss for myself.
Followed that up with a game that went almost the same way. Two crap teams in Göztepe and Grünyaspor. Taking Göztepe. Grünyaspor won the game 1-0. Göztepe missed a penalty at 0-0. That's the most frustrating part. 61 minutes in, they missed a penalty, and then the other team, Grünyaspor, got a penalty and won the game. It's just that it's not your week. To be fair, I didn't think it was going to be my week after them, but managed to redeem myself with later picks, but really disappointing. They also, Grünyaspor, had a pure barmy at halftime. There were three of their players got booked about 43 minutes in, and I watched the highlights of it because on Flash Score, you can go in and see the highlight package. They were fighting with their own team. And I'm we lost to a team who couldn't even keep their discipline with their own players. It's very disappointing. But not a great value pick in there. Joey, the demons.
So this is kind of the one I've been happy that it came in, but the way it came in is perhaps a bit fortunate.
The way it came in does not matter.
A win is a win. I had Antwerp on the minus 0.25 Asian handicap, which I'll get this out of the way. I did not have that correct in the way I described it. I had it flip-flopped. I was trying to describe the plus 0.25 handicap.
Yeah.
Sorry, just showing my
Oh, that's not a problem.
Betting tendencies. I've only been doing this for a couple of years now. I have my moments, but we try to weed them out here and there.
No, to be fair, when we put it up, I went on plus. I just put on plus one at that point. I was that seems like it might be the right thing. So as you were saying though.
But they ended up winning 1-0. Again, surprisingly. They were looking pretty dangerous. I was definitely sweating that one out for a little bit. They had the lion's share of the chances in the first half. And then fortunately for us, they had a red card in the 33rd minute. One of their strikers got sent off. And naturally, as red cards do, that kind of changes the game. But the interesting part is, given that it was just the striker, they still maintained a lot of that sort of shape. And it wasn't really that big of a change. So in the second half, even down a man, they were still threatening.
Beating them, yeah.
There were plenty of chances, and I'm glad there was some poor finishing on Gent's half, because De Poitra, the striker who didn't get sent off, I'm glad he was the one who didn't get sent, the one that stayed on the field, because he missed a couple sitters.
He missed a few ones.
But then Johnny on the spot, right on cue, our man, Mr. Mikel Frey.
Yeah.
Frey, he ended up scoring for us in the 78th minute to take a 1-0 lead.
He did.
It was a rebound off a free kick, banged off the crossbar, and he was Johnny on the spot to put it in. That was one of the little flutter shouts I had for last week as well. So that kind of gets us to technically a 4 of 5.
I'll for that.
You can't take that one away from me. No, that was on the actual show.
I tell you what, Joey, if Chris Kelly can claim a 1 to 100 shot, as an extra bonus pick, we'll give you that.
Hey, I was thinking about throwing Bayern to score last weekend. That was 1 to 100. That would have been my get me over the edge. That little extra
that's
space.
A banker right there. But yeah, good win in there. And Michael, when you get a 33rd minute red card for the opposing team, it sometimes doesn't do what you're looking for, especially with teams that like to counter attack, like Antwerp do. Like they've then got to generate regular attacks as opposed to that. But good win, 1-0, and yeah.
They're the two I'm always looking for as well, banker and value. See if you can get them in, it's a good week. And then anything else on top of that is beautiful. So well done, Joey. And there's still more to come. Moving on to the outsider picks, where we try and get something that the bookies have rated as an underdog. Jesus Christ. Kobe versus Urawa. Red Diamonds, 5-1 loss for the Red Diamonds, who had tips up at 2-1. Amazingly, though, Urawa had more possession and more shots. So they had 56% of the possession and 16 shots to 10 and lost 5-1. Now, okay, it's an outsider bet, so I'm not going to lose too much sleep about it not coming in, but it's not nice when you give it, when you're on the end of 5-1, like the wrong side. Not as bad as long-term listeners will remember the 10th of November 2018. Where I tipped Dynamo Dresden to beat Cologne. They get beat 8-1. So it's not as bad as that. But it's not good.
Yeah, we did talk about the fact that Urawa sometimes come out with a team of plumbers instead of like agile footballers.
I thought they'd fixed it this year because they'd be so much better. It might be a while before I pick the back Urawa Red Diamonds again.
Yeah, from that performance, it looked like they'd done a raffle for the seat 76. You'll be playing right back. So outsiders-wise, this is where my time to shine arrived. I took Bologna at home to Lazio. Now, if you were on this game and you had been using Bet365, which we talk about quite a lot, they've got a two-goal-up kind of payout. This game went off at 21-10. Bologna were up 2-0 within 17 minutes. So this you were paid out at that point. Now, they went on to win 3-0. Aaron Hickey, one of our Scots abroad, getting the goal in the 68th minute. Lazio didn't create much. It wasn't even as if this was unjustified. Bologna just... It's the kind of result that would generally ruin a banker week for me. Like, I'd be like, oh, Lazio away at Bologna. They've been absolutely rubbish. And then they get horsed 3-0. Yeah, this time it was on the right side of it. And it came in at 21-10. So, good pick.
It was a great pick. Really well done, G-Man. Excellent pick.
And enjoy what you got for outsiders. Or what did you have?
I was a big fan of that Bologna pick. That was very well called. For my outsider, I had Hatyaspor to win and both to score. Definitely a little speculative, but Hatyaspor did their part. They won 0-2, but
they did everything they needed to.
Unfortunately, Yanni weren't able to kind of help us out there. Hatyaspor took the lead in the 35th and then doubled it in the 69th minute. Interestingly, Yanni had the same number of shots, but they ended up losing the shots on goal battle 6-2. So that's never going to be a good formula. But they still maintained 53% possession the entire match, and they even won the attacks and dangerous attacks battle throughout the match. Hatyaspor were missing their main striker, Diouf, but I think what really made the difference was Yeni missing their sort of attacking midfielder, forward, utility player, Buyuk. Mm-hmm. He's one of their veteran players that he's just been everything for them in the past. He's actually accounted for 4 of their 7 goals with two goals and 2 assists. Yeni have only scored 7 this season. So he's contributing to the lion's share of all the offense that they're basically creating.
Yeah.
So missing him was definitely huge. I think had he been in there, they might've had a slightly better chance. But Hatyaspor looked really good. At least on the paper. I wish I could have watched that game, if I'm being brutally honest.
I mean, the thing with Hatyaspor was earlier on in the week, they were almost at outsider price alone. They drifted massively during the week because I'd looked at that, what we discussed on the podcast, I'd looked at them, they were about 19-10, but had drifted continually in until the game had kicked off where they were nearly evens by the time it came in. And that was due to, I mean, Yeni had a whole bunch of stuff going on, but they've taken 0 points. That's not a and Hatyaspor are the form team now. They're 13 points out of last 5 games. So you weren't far off, but another decent pick. It wasn't It wasn't a 5-1. You were closer. Yeah.
Much closer. Yeah. And you can't quibble with an outsider not coming in.
Absolutely.
And Hatia Sport was definitely in my value spot initially. So I thought I could have tried to cheat the system, get
it. Oh, you're trying to force a 5-5.
Game it. I like it.
Sport comes in.
Yeah.
It was a bit unlucky. Yanni still created plenty of chances. I think at home, they'll definitely be a team to watch, but they'll just kind of need to get themselves figured out.
Yeah, they need to sort it. All right. But yeah.
On to the charity treble, which was £10 of our own money on a treble. All the winnings and returns go to a charity of our choosing. And I went 0-4 this week. The charity bet compounding that with Nagoya away win or draw, another double chance away at Hiroshima, and they lost 1-0. So I couldn't find a single thing last week, hoping to turn it around this week. And I should point out as well, while I've gone 0-4 this week, it's a perfect 0-4 because there weren't even any draws in there. It was completely wrong.
Like, it could not be more wrong.
Couldn't have been more wrong.
Yeah. I mean, you're giving yourself a bit of a hard time considering that we, for some of our Patreon listeners that were on here, we did give a kind of sneaky coupon in between what we were talking about. Yeah. And Andy's team were up 4-0 within 30 minutes.
Yeah, Odense. Even money or something. I was like, I fancy this on Friday. Yeah. So we do that during the break. But so that, I guess that was the redeeming feature for myself. Yeah,
it wasn't as if you went a total one. But with my charity bet, what a ridiculous game this was. This was Galatasaray away at Rizespor. This game, I won. It was 3-2. Let me just take you through it. Galatasaray went up 1-0 after 5 minutes. Rizespor got two quick goals to bring it back to 2-1 within 26 minutes. Poyan Palo is the guy who's scoring for them, Andy, ex-Borussia Mönchengladbach striker. Anyway, second half, Galatasaray gave it back to level at 75 minutes. They then get a man sent off on the 86th minute. Rizespor miss a penalty in the 88th minute. And then Galatasaray scored the winning goal 90 plus 10. So I got a rather deserved result in there. Ridiculous one, but Galatasaray came in for me in the charity bet. So
absolutely gutting that we wasted one of those 90 plus 10 goals on a treble where I'd already lost.
I know. But luckily, the other half of the charity bet, Joey, how did we do?
So the other half, the final leg of the charity bet, well, I guess actually I kicked off the charity bet.
Yeah, you did.
Chronologically,
Chronologically. And it was Reed, both to score. And I'd say that came in relatively comfortably. Game finished 1-1. Reed opened the scoring in the 4th minute with an assist by my favorite Reed player, Mr. Newts. UTZ, I think you can imagine why your mind would enjoy that.
Gone to this man.
But then Klagenfurt equalized in 56th minute right after half. Nothing really too much to dive into here. This was unfortunately another game that I couldn't watch because I live in the US.
Yeah.
Makes this a little tricky, but no, I mean, after conceding so early, I mean, Klagenfurt really seemed to be in control. In the second half, they had 63% possession, and they ended up going 8 of 16 in their shot conversion. So they had 8 shots on net of 16 attempts versus Reed's 1 of 4. Obviously, I imagine Reed kind of sat back a little bit and tried to hold some of
that up the pressure.
But Klagenfurt had twice as many attacks, and they ended up winning the dangerous attack battle 25-15. So, I mean, it was really just a matter of time until that equalizer came in.
Yeah, I was happy with you. As soon as it was 1-1, I went, nope.
Well, it's done. Don't even think about this anymore.
That's
it. But yeah, it's well done, Joey. I mean, great week from yourself, and hopefully you can replicate it again this week, the sophomore stint. So,
I'll do my best.
You'll do your best.
Excellent. So overall, not the best week we've ever had, but a very good week from Joey. We're going to have a quick break and then we'll go on to this week's picks. And now on to this week's picks. So we'll run through the usual banker, value, outsider from all of us, and then the charity treble. I'm going to kick us off. I've had a look. Obviously, I like betting in Japan a lot. I've had a look at the fixtures. There's nothing there that particularly takes my fancy, certainly not in terms of a banker bet. So I'm in the Danish Superliga on Sunday at 3 p.m. for Brøndby versus Vejle. And a home win here for Brøndby is 1-2. We're 11 games into the Superliga season. Last season's champions, Brøndby, they've not started well. They're eighth in a 12-team league with 12 points and a -1 goal difference. So it's not exactly brilliant. However, Vejle have 2 points all season, dead last. A whopping -22 goal difference. So there's a real difference in quality in these teams. So even though Brøndby haven't started well, they are last year's champions and they are mediocre this year. They're not absolutely dreadful like their opponents are. Brøndby have been reasonably solid at home, actually, despite the poor start. And they've also picked up a bit of form recently, 8 points in the last 5 games and a +2 goal difference in that span. Vejle have lost every single away game that they've played this season by a combined scoreline of 15-2. That's across 5 games. So, like, 1-2 for Brøndby is a no-brainer for me. 1-2 is a big price, but this is a good banker. I'd probably still back this at 1-3, yeah. Maybe even 1-4.
I like it. I mean, if you give me Brøndby against, you know, any team that's recently been brought up, you know, I'd be happy with that. So, I like the pick. I will take us to France for my pick. This is round 10. It's Troyes versus Nice. And I have a fantastic stat about Troyes. Troyes have played in the last 20 games they've played. That goes between friendlies, pre-season, this season, the second division in France. There hasn't been a single game that wasn't over 1.5 goals.
Really? Wow. 20-game streak.
20-game streak. Nice are 8 of their last 10 have been over 1.5 goals. You get that at 1-4 in this game, and I don't even think there's any more I can say about it. I don't care how this game goes. I just think Troyes have enough to get a single goal. Nice have got enough to score two. Troyes have got enough to score two. Nice have got enough to score two. Like, it just, you know, I just can't see it being anything other than over 1.5, probably a half time from this. But yeah, you're going to get that at 1-4. That's my banker for this week.
Sounds pretty good. Like, yeah. You're not going to get any arguments from me, and certainly it's a good pick.
Yeah, I'm all over that. Yeah. I'm glad I finally converted you to the
over
easy 1.5. Side of the
Yeah, that's it.
Play for the 2-goal lead, the both yeah. the score.
I turn off my flash score notifications immediately. It like it's 26 minutes in, gone. Yeah.
Be careful. Exactly. Be careful. Then be careful doing that. Barred
yeah.
off.
Yeah, part of, I suppose, it's France. Joey, what you got for your banker this time?
So for my banker this week, I'm going to switch it up a little bit. I'm not doing over 1.5. I really wanted to, but I figured I'd try and at least switch it up a tiny bit. I'm going to do Bearscott versus Mechelen in the Belgian First Division. I'm going to go, huh?
Yeah, the Belgian League. Yeah, the Jupiler League.
Yeah, they're... I'm going to go over 0.5 goals in the first half. Anyone to score in the first half. I think that was hovering right around 1-3. Bearscott sit bottom of the league on 2 points, scoring 7, conceding 22. Mechelen are 6th, scoring 18 goals and conceding 19. They're on 16 points. I was kind of looking at this. I'm like, okay, so how do you like gauge a first half goal if you're like trying to research it? And to be fair, the only thing I can think of is, have there been first half goals in this so far this season? And Bearscott have seen it in 8 of 10 games this season in the league, 4 of 5 at home and away evenly. Then Mechelen have seen a first half goal in every single match so far this season, and they've actually scored in the first half of 7 of 10 of those, and 3 of 5 away. Where interestingly, Bearscott have conceded in the first half in 8 of 10 matches. Not the pick or anything, just going to throw a little spice in there. You can get Mechelen to score in the first half at 1.89-ish, 1.9.
Okay, yeah, 9 to 10.
That, could have been my value if I wanted to.
Kind she of wanted to play around with that. It, yeah.
But no, I think both
first
sides
half goal for either.
The first half, I don't care who scores. I prefer Mechlin too. I think that's kind of.
I think it's a good pick in there. Like Beerschot have been rubbish. Like getting 2 points from your first. What 10 games and conceding 22 goals isn't great. You know, if you're conceding 2.2 goals, there's a 50% chance that one of them's in the first half of the game, especially with Mechlin as well being, you know, they've scored almost as many as they've conceded. So happy with that pick again. And if just anything like your previous banker, it's in already. So I like it.
On to the value.
Yeah, in the first half.
Odds the value picks for this week. I am in the Japanese J League. It's Saturday, 7 in the morning, and you will notice that in the recap of last week's picks, I have set this up because it's the Urawa Red Diamonds against Gamba Osaka. A home win for the Urawa Reds is 6-7, and the odds are just too good. Like, there's too much value on here. I know they just got beaten 5-1, so I'm taking a wee bit of a chance. But that 5-1 was away from home and also against third place Vissel Kobe. Gamba Osaka also lost 5-1 that day. So no better shape. And that was a home game for them against an 11th place Sapporo team. So I would say their 5-1 loss was worse. 21 points separate these teams in the league in favour of the Red Diamonds. And Urawa, while they're fifth in the league, they're third if you only consider home games. So they are a team that do very, very well at home. Form-wise, despite that 5-1 loss, Urawa are still fifth in the league's five-game form table with 10 points from the last 15. Gamba Osaka are 19th in that table, a 20-team league, with only 3 points from the last five matches. So everything here points to an Urawa win, apart from one really wild stat. Right, and you guys will love this. The away team has won the last six iterations of this fixture, regardless of who's at home and where it's played. And you have to go back 13 occurrences to see the last time the home team won when two played each other. It was in 2016, and it was a 4-0 win for the Urawa Red Diamonds. But that is mental.
This is the worst pick you've brought in about a year, maybe more. Like,
no, not at all.
I thought at one point you were going to say, this is it. If you're comparing, like, you know, Urawa are actually top of the league if you take out all of their 5-1 losses. teams that had 5-1 losses
also get beat 5-1, but to a much worse team. And Urawa, last five games, 10 points out of possible 15. So it is an outlier compared to Gamba Osaka's, who 3 points from the last five matches.
I just wouldn't be going anywhere near a team that lost 5-1 the previous week.
They're at home now. They want to put it right. You're getting a massive price. You're basically getting even money for this.
Yeah, it's the value section. I know. It's just fucking.
I just think there's a lot of value in it because they get beat 5-1 last
this
week.
This game
getting a big price.
1-1, right?
Okay.
Urawa are up until about 90+9, and then you get a notification to say that Gamba Osaka have scored, and it's came off the back of the keeper after a cross or something. That's how this game goes.
I've been there before, but no, I'm very confident in this. I think the Red Diamonds will win, and I think they'll win comfortably. So
I'm glad you are. So I will take us to my pick, which incidentally also breaks a bit of taboo. Not, you know, moving into picking games that. After teams have been romped. My game's on Monday, but it's the best thing I could find in a value slot. It's top of the table Djurgården in Sweden. So that's the Allsvenskan, and not a league I'm often in. I'm generally in the lower reaches of the Super Ettan, or even the other Ettan leagues.
The Super Ettan, the mediocre Ettan.
Yeah, Ettan. Just So yeah, I'm taking Djurgården at home to Elfsborg. Two teams near the top of the table. Djurgården are on 44 points. Elfsborg are on 39. Djurgården are tied top at the moment. They're ahead on goal difference with on their 44 points. However, Djurgården have taken 26 points at home from their 11 home fixtures. Elfsborg have taken 16 points from their 10 away fixtures, so not bad in there. Elfsborg, however, got rinsed by Mjällby a couple of weeks ago, 4-0. And haven't seen that, and haven't seen them lose to Östersunds as well in there. Their last two away games, they've lost 4-0 and 3-1. They were also for a while playing in that Europa Cup, the Conference League, where they lost 5-0 to Feyenoord in there. Djurgården, on the other hand, have beaten Degerfors 3-2. They've beaten Hammarby 4-1. They drew 0-0 with Mjällby. They didn't lose 4-0. And they beat Häcken 2-1 in there. Now, you're going to get Djurgården at 10-11. I think that's a good price for them just now. These are two teams that are towards the top of the table. However, the pricing has it as 9-10 for a home win, 13-5 for the draw, or 11-4 for away. I think if you offered me 9-10 on a team that are top of the league and have been doing really well at home, I'm going to take it. So that's Monday night. You'll have enough time to forget about Japan on, when is it? Friday, Saturday?
Right, Saturday morning. But okay, I actually quite like your pick.
Yeah.
I will, but because you hate mine so much, I will put this out there. Let's have a £20 side bet on if one of them lets us down, the other owes that £20.
What happens if both? Is it push?
If you push, both win, push, both lose, push. If one wins and the other doesn't, the loser has to pay the winner £20.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Do you know what I'd rather? We don't. No money has changed hands because they're both winners.
They're both winners. I would like that as well, and I think that's what's going to happen. I'm gonna put extra money on the Red Diamonds because I'm so invested and I never learned from my mistakes.
Yes, that's it. So, I mean, Joey, have you got something sensible in here? Like a Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff, maybe not where a team is lost to some, you know, children they were playing against. what you got?
It's not quite 3 o'clock kickoff, but I just want to throw in there. So if both of those lose and mine come in,
I get 40 quid. You get a VIG.
So for my value pick, I've got Mo Salah to score and Liverpool to win. You can actually get that round even money, which I thought was really interesting. The real value play here is Mo Salah to score. I think I saw that around like 1.7. But being the greedy bastard that I am, I wanted to throw the Liverpool win in there just because they're on such phenomenal form. And this is kind of where I kind of ran into a little trouble here, because using Bet365, you get that 2-0 payout if they go up 2-0. In the U.S. here, we do not get that. So a 2-goal payout to me is over 1.5 team totals.
Yeah.
And so, interestingly enough, I looked at one of my books and I could get that at, I could get Liverpool win plus Salah at 1.98, and then I could get Salah to score and over 1.5 team totals at 1.97.
You went for the larger odds in there, obviously.
There's there, yeah. I figured I might go for the slightly more sensible one. But no, Liverpool are second in the away form table. They're going to Watford this week, where they've won 4 of the 5 last 5 overall historical head-to-heads against Watford. And Watford have lost 3 of their last 5 and 2 losses and a draw in their last 5 at home. So it's not like they're blowing teams away. Or granted, they got promoted. So yes, this is expected to be Liverpool kind of dominating play. And
they beat Norwich is the only thing that Watford have really done away from home this season. They got a 1-1 withdrawal with Newcastle in there, but everyone's beaten Norwich. It's not like that isn't, that doesn't differentiate.
Nothing to hang your cap on.
No, not at all.
But so where it gets interesting is Mo Salah is just kind of a man on fire right now. He's scored in the last 6 league games that he's played in. He had one where he sat out against, I think it was actually Norwich. Or no, it wasn't Norwich. It was towards the middle of the schedule. But he's actually scored against Watford in 4 of his last 6 appearances. So it's not like this is just out of the realm of possibilities. He likes to score against everybody, and Watford as well. But so kind of where I was back and forth with the over 1.5 and just the win, Liverpool have actually scored over 1.5 team total goals in 9 of 10 matches this season in all of their competitions. So I really think you're splitting hairs. I know Watford aren't terrible defensively, but I mean, this Liverpool team is just clicking. I mean, it is.
And as a Liverpool fan, I have one word of warning in here, and that is Salah played 90 minutes for Egypt twice in the last 2 weeks, the 2 days. So he played against Libya twice. It's how their group works. They played home and away. And I think Klopp might sit him. So I think you're over 1.5 might be a better bet.
I did
really
see
even
that,
with that much rest. Because it's not Wednesday or a Thursday. It's,
he played last night, and he's got to get back from Egypt to thingy. Yeah. Liverpool have got enough strikers that we can. I think he'll come on. I think he'll probably bring him on about like 70 minutes or something. But I think I know that. I don't know if Mane played, but. That's the only thing I can think about. Outside of that, he's scoring every week. So, he's scoring for fun.
Yeah. Some bookies give you the option that he'll void it if he doesn't start. Mm-hmm. And I'd also keep my eye out. This seems like the sort of bet that Paddy Power or Betfair would have as a promoted odds bet.
Yeah.
So keep your eye out nearer the time for a bet boost on this particular thing happening. You might get it even better than evens. You might get 6-4 or something like that.
Yeah, the only team he hasn't scored against was Burnley over the last, like, what is it? He scored against... It's ridiculous. He sat out against Norwich. That was after a European tie midweek. But that's what Klopp does with him. Like, sometimes he'll sit him. So that is the only thing I can think about that. But outside of that, that is a fantastic pick because, as you said, Salah is just scorching at the moment.
Man on fire. It's insane. I was looking at the sort of Egypt fixtures, and I wasn't 100% sure when he'd actually be coming back. Cause I know like Lukaku came back a little early from UEFA Nations League. But yeah, I mean, they play tomorrow as well. I'd imagine the role that he plays with Egypt as well. Yeah. He'll be involved in everything, but he also won't necessarily feel
he's more a playmaker. He's
kind of back and just let it come to him. Yeah. So it's not like, I can't imagine he's getting too strained in those full 90 minutes. Like, it's definitely concerning seeing him play back-to-back 90 minutes, but...
Yeah, against Libya. In Libya. Like, yeah. That's dangerous anyway. That's the only thing. And Klopp can and will sit him because he has Jota there. He has Salah. He's got Firmino. Like, he has other people out there. So as Andy said, if he doesn't play, you generally just get your bet voided at that point. So you would come back with a very rare trample bet thing, which is Andy's had one, I believe, which is just a non-runner.
Great.
So it just like a non-runner, as in didn't happen, mate. Game just didn't go.
I got 3 out of 3 that week because my outsider didn't go. And that was a great result.
But good pick in there.
Talking of outsiders, let's move on to them. So we've scoured the books for underdogs that we think have a better chance than the odds might suggest, and I'm going to do something that Gordon's going to hate.
The Urawa Red Diamonds over 2.5.
For two reasons, actually. One, I'm backing my own team, which generally, you know,
never good.
You shouldn't do. And I'm also backing against his team, which you'll just like out of, you know, dislike out of spite. So Saturday at 3 p.m. in the Scottish Premiership, Hibernian versus Dundee United. And these are two teams in good form. I guess you would have expected Hibs to start like this. You wouldn't have expected Dundee United to start like this. I think that's fair to say. Hibs are third in the league, 15 points. Dundee United fifth in the league, only a point behind, 14 points. United lost their first game of the season away at Aberdeen. But since then, they haven't lost away from home. They've been really solid, really good. Tam Courts, the manager's got that defence and midfield organised. They all work for each other and they put in a real shift. As demonstrated with a terrific 1-1 each away at Celtic Park last time out. So that's just showing how hard to beat this side has really become. We've not won at Celtic Park since 1992. Right? So, and we had a chance to win that game right at the end. So it's quite a good time to be a Dundee United fan. We've also just this week added a new striker to the team, Maxime Biamou, a 30-year-old Frenchman who's played the last few seasons down at Coventry City. And it's something that we've been crying out for from a goal-scoring point of view. You know, we've got guys that can make the chances. However, Lauren Shanklin left to go to Belgium.
To go to Beerschot.
Exactly. So we're crying out for a striker. So it'll be interesting to see how he does. The sides played each other in the Cup recently, where Hibs had the best of the first half, had two chances, scored them both and got a penalty in first half stoppage time and went in 3-0 up when it easily could have been 2-0 Dundee United. Like, it was one of those, It was one of those games where the score could have been anything from 3-0 Hibs to 2-0 Dundee United. Just pick something in the interim. And then United had the best of the second half. So, and got a goal back, got a goal incorrectly chopped off as well. We don't have VAR in Scotland. So it was an absolute disgrace of an offside call where he was onside by about a yard. So that would have been 3-2 with half an hour to go. So if you look back at the previous fixtures, that 3-1 from earlier in the season isn't representative at all of how that game went. And I think this game will be a lot closer than the odds suggest. Now, the only reason that I'm tipping Dundee United here in the outsider slot is because they're 4-1. And I think that's just far too big. If they were 2-1, which I think is more accurate, I wouldn't be betting on it. I just hope that we got a good result in the game. But if 4-1, that's big enough for me to go, they shouldn't be that big.
It's a really good pick. And the reason it's a really good pick is we struggle against teams that set up incredibly defensively, like Dundee United do. Yeah. And, you know, against St Mirren, you've seen it when we were 2-2 against them. Yeah. At 4-1, that is a big price. And yeah, the only thing I would say is Nisbet didn't feature at all for the Scotland in the Scotland setup. So he's not going to be tired or anything. And he's
still
going
to write.
Did he? Did he actually come on later on?
I think
on
he played the last 20 minutes.
All right, okay, yeah, well, you know, insignificant timings, you know.
Yeah.
But I think that's a really good pick in there. Obviously, I would rather see Hibs win that from a personal perspective.
8-1.
Yes. Yeah, about 5-1 would be fine. But yeah, but I take you on to my outsider in here, which I think is the best outsider I've picked in a long time. And I have hundreds of puns for it, but I am going to reserve all of them away because of the severity of this pick. So know that by picking Pisa, I had tower jokes, I had leaning jokes, I had how much they were a piece of nonsense, they were at this price. There's just constant, but I choose to use none of them. And I use none of them because Pisa are top of the Sierra B table. They have 19 points from their first 7 games and they play against Crotone, who have taken 4 points from their 7 games. Crotone are in 17th place. Pisa, away at Crotone, are 2-1. Now, if I just give you those facts, that's a pretty legitimate reason to stop there. You know, you've got the top of the table, you know, top of the form table. The last 5 games, they've taken 13 points. Crotone have taken 3. They're not good. They've conceded 9 goals. The reason you're getting this at this price is because the Sierra B is full of away team draws. Away team draws for better teams at home to absolute dross, like Crotone. Now, I don't see that happening here. A team of similar standards. So the two top of the table for in the Sierra B are Lecce and Pisa. Lecce beat Crotone 3-0. And I expect Pisa to do something similar to them. I had thought that about taking this as a double chance as the charity pick, because you're getting double chance at 4-7, which is quite large odds for what I see as the only other result that could happen here, which is a draw. But I think Pisa have got far too much for a Crotone team that are losing to the likes of Cosenza, who are down towards the bottom of the table as well. Now, Pisa at 2-1 is a frankly ridiculous price. And I will be all over that. So I didn't take any of those jokes there. I just went straight for Pisa, straight up at 2-1. I look forward to the profits from that. Don't have any other ending to that. I just wanted to say things about how I was leaning towards it. And I feel like I'm not having used it to my full potential.
Stop. Joey, what have you got for your outsider?
So for my outsider, I'm going to take us back to Belgium. I like Antwerp to win and both to score. You can get that around 3-1, or not 3-1, but 3.0.
Okay.
And yeah, they're featuring again on this podcast. They looked a little interesting at times against Ghent. But Antwerp sit second in the league on 20 points, level with the leaders, but only separated by goal differential. Whereas Waregem they're in 15th place on 9 points with 15 scored and 23 conceded. Home form is 2 points, 7 scored and 14 conceded in 5 matches. They are 16th of 18 teams in the home form table. Whereas Antwerp sit third in the away form table on 10 points, scoring 11, conceding 7 in their 5 games. Verigum have lost 4 of their last 5 and 3 of 5 at home, with 5 of their 10 matches this season being a loss plus both the score. Whereas Antwerp sit top of the form table, as I'm sure you might have heard last week. they're still up top, in case you were wondering. And they've actually won 5 straight in the league, with 3 of 5 away wins this season, with a draw and a loss in there as well. But 2 of those wins were also wins plus both the score. I understand the win plus both the score is a little speculative in general. You need a little more things to go right in that scenario. But since Antwerp have been back in the top league in Belgium, they were promoted back in 2017. They've won 6 of 8 meetings between these sides. And 3 of 5 of those meetings at Verigem finished with Antwerp winning and both the scoring, with a 1-3 scoreline, a 1-2 scoreline, and another 1-2 scoreline.
Yeah, I like it. Hey, it's outsider. You've got carte blanche outsider. You've got close with Hatchaspor. I look forward to seeing Michael Frey score 2 and nod 1 in his own net if he fancies, if he really wants to take this for us.
No, I mean, I guess if I throw enough darts at the board, I guess one of them's going to hit.
One of them's going to stick right there. But yeah, that sounds really good. I'm liking it, Joey.
On to the charity treble, which normally is £10 of our own money on a treble, with all the proceeds going to a charity of our choosing. However, this week, thank you very much to Dr. Brian Clark, the winner of the 2021 Trample Bet Fantasy Baseball Championship, whose team, the Springfield Isotopes, beat Gordon's Gators in the final.
Incredibly comfortably.
346 points to 240 points in the World Series of our fantasy baseball tournament. It's a long year. So congratulations, Brian. Well done. Well done for doing that. He picks up a not insignificant first place prize, of which he has donated £25 to go on our charity bet this week. So we're having a bumper charity bet, thanks to Brian. So cheers, Brian. We really, really appreciate it. So
yeah, really appreciate it, Brian. And
let's
well
try
done.
And he said, the first bet was well genuine. Done. The well done was said through gritted teeth.
No, well done, Brian. That was he had me beaten by about Thursday of the week after my pictures didn't show up. But really good, and thanks so much for the charity treble. So let's just nail it, boys. So let's, what have you got, Andy?
Sunday, 5 p.m., back in the Danish Superliga for Sønderjyske versus FC Copenhagen. And I'm going to take FC Copenhagen to win away from home. At odds of 1-2. So FC Co, second in the league. They're only 3 points behind top place Midtjylland. 24 points from 11 games. They've scored a league-high 25 goals and conceded only 8. So they are very, very good. Sønderjyske are 11th, which is second bottom in the 12-team league. 8 points and a minus 11 goal difference. Copenhagen have taken the most points in the road from all the Superliga teams, a perfect 5 away from home wins out of 5, and will just be far too strong for Sønderjyske here. I think the 1-2 prices, they could easily have been my banker. It was between them and Brøndby. It's basically the same situation in both. I expect both to win comfortably, so hopefully FC Co can be a guaranteed leg in this charity treble.
Nice. I like it. I'm going to spice it up a bit, odds-wise, but I think it's just as comfortable, hopefully. This is also a Sunday game, so it'll be a Sunday charity special from me and Andy, and certainly, well, I can't remember what Joey's pick is, but I hope it's on Sunday now. this is at 2 p.m., traditional French kickoff time. I'm taking Rennes away at Metz at what I consider to be the rather spicy odds of 5-6. Now, Rennes beat PSG last week. That's or 2 weeks ago now, before the international break. It's starting to click for them, and it's starting to click in a big way. Their last four games they played away in the Europa Conference League and beat Vitesse 2-1. They beat PSG 2-0. They drew 1-1 with Bordeaux, and they beat newly promoted Clermont 6-0. Now, Clermont and Metz are about the same level. You know, they're going to either avoid relegation by about 5 points or get relegated for about 5 points. Rennes have traditionally had the better of this fixture as well. The last two times they've played away from home at Mets, they've won 3-1 and 1-0. And the last time they played Mets at home, they beat them 1-0 as well. So the last three times, it's been pretty damn good for them. Mets have lost to Angers, they've lost to PSG, they've lost to Strasbourg, they've lost to Troyes, they've lost to Auxerre. You name a French team, you think, oh, you're all right. They've lost to them recently. And that's the reason I pick them in this spot. They've only taken 6 points from 9 games, whereas Rennes have taken 12 from their 9. So they've taken double the amount of points. Rennes had a tougher start to the season where they played, you know, Lyon, they played against the kind of tougher opposition. I like them at 5-6 here. I'd also looked at the double chance, but 2-9, I didn't see enough value in it to put it as the charity, even though the charity bet has been, you know, doubled in a bit. So, yeah, you're going to get Rennes at 5-6. Let's hope that rolls in on Sunday. Joey, what you got?
So, unfortunately, my match is not on Sunday. It is on Saturday, 4 p.m. your time.
You can just get that in and watch us sweat.
Yes,
exactly. I'm just hoping to kick it off again.
Yeah.
Going back to the Austrian Bundesliga, I've got Klagenfurt both to score again. Hey, what a shocker! At least I'm consistent. You can get that around 1.6. I'm sure that price will vary from book to book. But so the one interesting fact that I will preface in the beginning, these sides have never met before. Klagenfurt and Rapid Vienna. Interestingly enough, with Klagenfurt recently being promoted. So you're just going to have to trust me on their home form so far this season. Klagenfurt have seen both the score in 11 of 13 matches overall in every single one of their home matches. That's 5 so far. Where it gets a little interesting is Vienna. They're a little more inconsistent in the both the score market. They've seen it in 5 of 10 overall this season. But 3 of those 5 were away, which they happen to be today, including another both to score in the League Cup against another team in the Austrian Bundesliga.
Yeah.
Their name is, I can't think of them.
Escaping you just now. Don't worry about it. That's fine.
But no, I think with Vienna being favored here, I think they were just shy of even money. I can understand this being priced as a relative pick'em. But with Vienna being slightly favored, I think the books also think that they're going to score, and that's not by any means my basis behind this bet, but I think this will be my sort of confirmation in terms of Vienna's form. Yes, they're not really showing it quite in the league. They've had a couple 3-0 losses, a couple dicey 0-0, that kind of stuff. But I think something's going to break here. I think Klagenfurt are more susceptible to both the score. I love that they've had it happen in all 5 of their home matches, which they're at right now.
And they've done it against opposition as well. They've done it against the opposition as well that are like pretty similar. Like at last Linz, they were 1-1 against, I know, Salzburg. They lost 3-1. You know, these are the teams that are, you would say, of a similar ilk to them. But I like the pick. So both teams to score in there. Let's just, and Andy, do you have the, how much this is
going
to be?
What odds are we getting on that, on the both teams to score there?
I
found it at my books at like 1.59, 1.6-ish. I'd imagine it's within
4-7. Yeah.
4-7.
Yeah. 4-7 on 4-7 on that.
So with Brian's very generous donation of part of his prize fund, a £25 bet on that treble will return £108.04. It's over £100 for a charity if we can get that one in. So
muy picante. Muy picante.
Yes, very picante. But yeah, so no, I like it. I like it a lot. And thanks again, Brian, for that.
We have, before we wrap up, we obviously have to announce that we have a Patreon channel as well, where you get lots of extra stuff. We have 2 new patrons this week, Dave and Connor. Dave, a long-term and valuable contributor to the show and the Facebook group, especially with his horse racing picks. So thanks very much, Dave. And Connor, who I believe is a relatively new poster, but 2 for 2 this week.
2 for 2 in one thread. Came in hot, as Joy was talking about.
coming in hot with the absolute sheer gold. So thank you very much, Connor, and cheers for joining, lads. Everyone's welcome to join the Patreon. Costs £5.50 a month, and it's run through the Patreon app. Just search Patreon in the App Store, download, and then from there you can find the Trample Bet podcast, where you will get instant access to this podcast as a video file, including all the chat at the beginning before we start recording proper, and all the chat in the ad break. We do give some bonus picks and selections that we like but didn't quite make the cut for the show, and there's usually some good stuff in there. You get a cheat sheet with all the picks from this week's show written down in a handy JPEG format. So you just open the app on your phone and there they all are, dates, times, selections, so you don't need to take notes as you listen or try and remember to what was said. You also get extra content podcasts on the big sporting events from the likes of baseball, darts, horse racing, golf, mixed martial arts, politics, and wrestling. I'm not involved in all of those. I'm only involved in the ones I know about. So the baseball, darts, and horse racing, Gordon covers MMA. We get in special guests for politics and wrestling. And we've got a couple of guys on retainer for UFC fights and mixed martial arts. And you also have the knowledge that you're giving something back in helping this podcast and this show to continue to producing weekly episodes. So do join us there. We'd love to have you. We also have a Facebook group that's been mentioned previously. Just search Facebook, Trample Bet Podcast, join the group, free to join, be involved in the community, start getting involved with some of the picks. Guess all that's left to say, guys, is thank you very much. That is a bumper show. And Joey, if you can do half as good as you did last week, that'd be absolutely wonderful. Hopefully I can turn around my terrible form from a fortnight ago and get back to winning ways.
I sure hope so. Like always, as long as I get the banker and the charity in, I'm glad to contribute.
Yeah, the charity comes with some weight this week, so that's some serious weight.
That
so,
was actually important. Yep, I made sure that went sorted in.
No, brilliant.
That's brilliant, guys. Thanks again. Hope you've all enjoyed the show. We'll see you next week. Happy hunting.
Bye.
The Trample Bet podcast is produced by Andy Vaughan, Gordon McLarnon, and Gary Black. Part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Find the next show you'll love at sports-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.